Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Please follow along with your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Mark, chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Hear the word of the Lord. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sports Illustrated is a U.S. magazine that covers all kinds of professional and amateur sports. In its issue theme, The Century's Greatest Sports Photos, the magazine showcased pictures of famous athletes like Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, Nadia Comaneci, and Lou Gehrig in some of their finest moments. But the photo that Sports Illustrated chose as the greatest of the century shocked the entire world. The winning picture took you inside the number 14th ranked TCU, Texas Christian University's football locker room, just minutes before the team was about to take the field against 8th ranked Syracuse University in the 1957 Cotton Bowl. This picture was taken a few minutes after the TCU players returned from their pregame warmups. And these young men, including their coaches, are just sitting there in the locker room thinking, each person staring into space with the seriousness on their faces, thinking about what would happen in the game that would begin in a few moments. How would they play in front of the cameras and the crowd? What would be the outcome? And how would they stop the opposing team's most elite and famous running back in college history, Jim Brown? In sharing why they chose this photo, Sports Illustrated explained that this photo invited you into something deeper than the others. Speaking about the photo, they said, "They're all lost in that place most folks go maybe once or twice in a lifetime. When their mamas or daddies die, or their children are born, a place they don't go nearly as often as they should. The times when a person takes a flashlight to his soul and inspects himself." And with the new year upon us, I wanted to use this time for us to think through some questions as we reflect and inspect ourselves on the past year and prepare for the new one. Questions like, who am I? And where am I going? What kind of a person am I today? And do I like the person I'm becoming? Am I closer to God after this past year or further? Am I trusting Him with more areas of my life? Or am I trying to control more areas of my life? Am I more loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, and kind to those around me? Do I exhibit goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control? Or am I more unloving, complaining, anxious, rude, harsh, or judgmental when I don't get my way? Do I lack self-control or exhibit duplicity in my life? This past year, did I live for God or did I just live for myself? And this upcoming year, am I going to live for God or just live for myself? Am I going to focus on building my kingdom or focus on building God's kingdom? And if my life were to end this year, would God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or would he say something else? See, at the end of our life, it doesn't matter how much money we've accumulated, how many houses we have, or how many promotions we got. It doesn't matter how great our reputation is, because if we neglect God, we're not obedient to what God wanted for us, then we really missed out on what God wanted for us in the past year. If God had given you invitations to seek Him and His purposes, but you were too busy seeking other things and your purposes, then you missed out on God and what He wanted to do in your life. And if nothing changes, or if we don't have a plan to change the trajectory of where we're going, then it will just happen again this year as we continue to do what we have always done as we drift further and further away from God and His purpose for us. That is why Jesus invites us to think and reflect on where are we going in our life and how are we going to respond to Him in our going. That is why in the first century, when God came as Jesus, He talked about the kingdom of God, the redemption of all things, and how people could find forgiveness for their sins and have a relationship with God. Jesus performed miracles. He healed people and He spoke the truth that answered people's questions about their lives and their eternity. And the crowds of people following Him kept growing, so much so that Jesus had to climb into a boat and teach from there as people were standing on the shore listening. It is there that Jesus tells a parable to the crowd about four different kinds of people and what happens to each of them as time passes. And everyone, including each of us, falls into one of these categories of people. Jesus talks about how each responds to God and what happens based on their response. Jesus tells this parable because He wasn't content in drawing crowds, but wanted to identify the different motivations and why people were following Him. Was it for Him or what He could do for them? Because Jesus was not looking for the quantity of the onlookers in the crowds, but the quality of followers in the crowds. And if you're not familiar with a parable, it is really a made-up story that reveals a heavenly truth that applies to our lives. Jesus says, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up." Jesus explains that there is this farmer who goes out to his field, and he starts sowing seed, meaning planting seed. And as he's walking, he keeps scattering the seed, and the seed falls on different areas. Some fall on the ground, some are taken by the wind and fall in different other areas. Some of the seed even fell along the walking path, and upon seeing the seeds, the birds flew down and ate up the seeds. The parable continues. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Some of the scattered seed fell among the rocky areas that had a thin layer of soil on it. The seeds quickly started to grow, but because underneath the soil was rock, the seed could not take root. And eventually the sun just dried out the moisture of the shallow soil and the plant with it. So the seed's growth was short-lived. You know, I remember when I was in fourth grade, our teacher gave each of us seeds and we would wet a paper towel and put the seeds in between the layers of the paper towel. And then we would put the wet paper towel labeled with our name with it and with the seeds in it, and we'll put them right on the windowsill. By the following week, the seeds would start to germinate with small roots and a stalk with tiny leaves. And I remember our teacher telling us that we needed to take those seedlings and put them in soil so that they could grow deeper roots. And so each of us had a pot with soil and we put those seeds in the soil. Well, there would be one or two kids who happened to miss school, and so their paper towel with the growing seeds would eventually dry out because they didn't attend to it. And finally, when those kids came back, they found a dry, crusty paper towel left on the sill with dead seedlings in between the folds. Those that had deeper soil survived, and those that didn't dried off and died off. Jesus continues, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. These thorn bushes were a type of weed with strong roots that stole all the moisture from the soil, which ended up choking all the other plants from growing. For those of you who like to garden, you know that weeds are the enemy to the plants you are trying to cultivate. Because not only do they steal moisture and nutrients from the plant, but the weeds grow so fast and cover the plant so it cannot receive the sunlight that it needs. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. However, there were seeds that fell on good soil, and they not only flourished, but they multiplied, so there were other plants like it. This plant from the seed had seedlings, and its seedlings produced more seedlings. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Jesus is saying, hey, listen up and pay attention, because what I am telling you is so important and has consequences now and for eternity. So how you respond to what is being said will determine the kind of person you become and will determine the quality, direction, and impact of your life. When he was alone, the 12, meaning Jesus' 12 closest followers, and the others around him asked him about the parables. So when the crowds cleared away, the disciples pulled Jesus aside and asked, hey, so what does the parable mean? What is this with the seeds and the birds and the rocks and the thorns? What is the spiritual meaning and what does this have to do with us? He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. See, there are many mysteries about God and questions that come up about him and his ways. But a mystery isn't something we can't figure out. However, God is saying that we would not know the truth unless God was the one who reveals it to us. That is why people can hear the truth and still not make any sense of it and be blind to it. But Jesus used parables for listeners as a doorway to see where they were with him. Because if they were not interested, such people would choose to stay outside the door. But if the listener was interested, they could walk through the doorway and seek the truth and what it meant for their lives. See, people will say that they want the truth, but when the truth is presented to them, they deny it or don't respond to it. That is why we see people all around us who never change for years, because they insist on holding on to their own version of truth for their lives. That is why how we respond to the truth will reveal where we really are with God and how far our lives are from him. Because God is truth. And so Jesus offers his hearers the opportunity to hear the truth about their lives, and that they can either accept it and apply it to their lives, or they can turn away from it. Jesus continues saying, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? Jesus is saying that there will be people that though they have perfect vision, they will miss out on what God is trying to show them. Though they have perfect hearing, they will still be unable to hear the truth of what God is saying. These are people who try to seek answers, change, and direction without God, because they rely on their own wisdom, experiences, and pride to guide them. So Jesus is saying that if the disciples can't even understand the simple truth, how will they ever understand anything else that God says? Here, the farmer or sower represents anyone who shares the truth of God with others. The seed scattered is the word of God, or also known as the gospel, which is the message of salvation that God will save and redeem sinners through Christ. And the different soils in the story represent the different conditions of the human heart to the truth of God. Jesus wants to make it clear to the crowd listening that the problem of rejection by people to God's truth is not with the seed, meaning is not with the word of God, nor is it with the sower, meaning the person who is sharing God's truth. Rather, the problem is with the heart conditions of the people who are represented by the four different types of soil and how they respond to the seed, meaning the truth of God. The first soil represents the person with the hard heart. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. This kind of soil is hard, and it represents those people who hear Jesus' message but reject it. And so the devil comes and snatches the seed of good news away. These people's hearts are so hardened by their sin, their pride, their disappointment, and they choose to reject God's relevance in their lives. These are people who are anti-God and are angry with God, or are angry that God is even mentioned. So they hear the word of God, but their hardness and pride won't let the seed of the word penetrate or change them. And so Satan just takes it away. These are people whom you can talk to about God, or they will hear God's truth, and they will have no response, or will respond with skepticism, asking all sorts of questions, not to learn more, but to find fault with God and to find fault with life. Well, these are people who will come to church, not because they want to, but because their family brings them. These same people may know that what God says is good for others, but it definitely doesn't apply to them. These are people who think that they know it all. They're always right, and they never want to ever admit that they're wrong. They can often think that followers of Jesus are mindless and dumb people who need God as a crutch because they are so weak-minded. These people may even get angry when God is brought up because God threatens their way of life. Or they are simply apathetic towards God. Hey, whatever works for you, they will say, as long as he doesn't bother me and I can do exactly what I want. These are people who live by their own version of what they believe is true and choose to live their life without God. Maybe you know people like that. Maybe you are someone like that. The second soil represents the person with the superficial heart. Jesus continues, others like seeds sown on rocky places hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. This is the person who gets excited when they hear about God and his truth. They've been looking for answers for their life and they find God's answers for them. But because there is no foundation to grow in the things of God, their heart and life doesn't really change. So when trouble arises, they quickly revert back to their old ways because they have not chosen to be rooted in the source of their newly discovered answers for their lives. Such people initially respond excitedly, and then they just disappear away from God, from community, or anything to do with God. We see people like that all the time. They get excited when they hear about God. and then make a decision to follow him. But because they didn't make time to invest in their faith, to consistently get into God's word, to regularly come to church and be in spiritual community with others, no roots are actually formed in Christ as to what they believe and why they believe it. And because they don't do their part to partner with God to grow their faith, they just remain spiritually shallow. Eventually, because there is no root, their faith, instead of being the foundation that supports them and holds them firm through all that life brings, they end up relying on other things to hold them up. Because there are no roots in trusting God, they end up trusting everything else to save them instead. Eventually, God and faith are non-existent, like it was never there to begin with. Like the scripture said, people like this quickly fall away. The third soil represents the person with the divided heart. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. The thorny ground depicts one who seems to receive the word, meaning people who consider themselves followers of Jesus, but they're still divided in their allegiances and their commitments between God and other things. Instead of God having supremacy over all areas of their life, they prioritize other things to have supremacy. And because of that, they're frequently divided and therefore frequently inconsistent when it comes to walking with God. The things of this world, their money, and other priorities take a majority of their time and attention away from God. Eventually, they rarely have time for God. In fact, they end up missing out on God and what He wants to do because their attention is so focused on other priorities besides God, like school, work, money, family, relationships, achievement. And those are not all bad things in themselves. But such people have allowed these things to become more important than God. These things actually become their counterfeit gods, in which they invest in and trust in for their power, approval, purpose, comfort, and even to save them. They are always working to make more in order to build their own kingdoms instead of God's kingdom. And though they know that following Jesus is good and they should be allocating more time to God, God ends up getting the scraps of their time, money, emotions, and resources. Such people who fall in this category claim to have faith, but they're frequently plagued by worry and fear. They prioritize the desire for things other than God, so much so that these same things end up strangling their faith and slowly killing their soul. On Sundays, they may or may not come to church to worship God, because in reality, they are worshiping other pursuits throughout the week. In fact, they can get angry and frustrated when God threatens those pursuits. These are people who at one time were hot for God, but now they're not anything for God. Or there was a season where they were diligently following Him, but now there are other priorities to pursue that are way more important than Him. And so they just miss out on what God wants to do in, through, and around them. These people would tell you that they are a Christian, but if you were to really look at their lives tell a very, very different story. And because they live this way, their desire for God eventually gets choked out, and you don't see any spiritual fruit in their life. Finally, there is a fourth kind of soil that Jesus refers to as good ground, and this is the person with the fruitful heart. Jesus says, others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. This is the person who doesn't just hear God's word, but receives it, practices it, and then allows God's word to accomplish its result in their life. They want to honor God with all aspects of their lives, so they make time for God and surrender to Him because He is priority in their lives. And so they rearrange everything around His priorities. They are bothered when they sin and are not in fellowship with God or with His people. These are people who not only follow Jesus, but they make disciples by helping others to mature and follow Jesus as well. These are people of influence, and they bring hope to others by walking alongside them as they bring the light of Christ to whatever environment God puts them in. We read that the person represented by the good soil ends up producing a crop of fruit, and it isn't the kind of fruit that the world sees as significant, meaning success and money and fame, but it is the kind of fruit that God sees as significant. We read that these are the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Such fruit are seen in this person's life consistently through all seasons, which is why wherever they go, they have such godly influence that now God is able to produce the same kind of fruit in the lives of the people around them. This doesn't mean that this person never faces any hardship, because they do, and they will, but their trust is in God. And they pull closer to Him, especially when things are rough, which allows God to now shine even more brightly through them to those around them. And the measure of the fruit may be different from person to person, like 30, 60, or 100-fold increases. But there is fruit nonetheless. And this fruit looks like changed lives. It looks like people coming to know Jesus, people being healed and transformed. And it looks like people living out God's purposes for themselves, all because this person chose to live in a way that mattered for God. You know, I have a friend who lives this way, and it blows my mind as to how abundant his life is and continues to be. Gabriel is a breath of fresh air for people wherever he goes. He encourages people with the things of God, no matter who you are, and he brings people to hope and the love of Jesus. And because of his life, people have found and continue to find Jesus as their lives are transformed now and for eternity. It was Gabriel that shared his faith with Tony. And Tony came to know Jesus and his life started to change. Then it was Tony who met my friend Paul. And Paul came to know Jesus and his life started to change. Then Paul met my friend Kenneth, who came to know Jesus as well, and his life started to change. And it was when I was in college that Kenneth took me under his wing and helped me to not just have faith, but to develop roots in my faith so that I could be fruitful in the way that God wanted me to be with my life. Gabriel is an example of what Jesus talked about with one seed surrendered to God that increased 30, 60, or 100-fold. And this doesn't even include the countless lives that Gabriel has touched and changed, all because he had decided to become a person who was going to follow Jesus and who was going to surrender all of his life to Jesus. We recently had a reunion, and we were talking about the faithfulness of God and what He can do with a life of continued, consistent obedience. And as we looked back, we were reminiscing of all the lives that God had changed, including our own. So going back to that question that I asked at the beginning, who are you becoming and where are you going? To answer this and is evaluating if the different soils represent a heart, then what kind of heart do you have? Not what kind of heart do you want to have, or did you once have? But I'm talking about right now. If you were to evaluate your life, what is the condition of your heart right now towards God? And why is it that way? Is your heart towards God hard? Is it superficial? Is it divided? Or is it fruitful? If you do have a hard heart towards God, why is that? Why do you feel that way about God? Was it a bad church experience? Did a Christian misrepresent Jesus to you? Was your interaction with someone of the faith unloving and manipulative? Did you have an unfulfilled dream or expectation and now you blame God? Well, let this year be the year where you investigate why you have the heart that you do with God. Ask God to reveal it to you and then dialogue with us in community as you get substantial answers to your questions and find healing. If you have a superficial or divided heart towards God, then I want to encourage you to make it a priority to change that by taking intentional steps towards cultivating your own relationship with Jesus. Faith in God has to be cultivated. And if it is not growing, then it is deteriorating. So this year, cultivate your faith by making a commitment to come to church not just once or twice a month, but do your best to be there every week if you're able to. This year, make the commitment to join in with community by joining a life group so that you can develop deeper spiritual friendships that help you to grow and mature your faith instead of being isolated. This year, look to serve God by serving those around you. Make the commitment to study and read through all of God's Word and use your resources towards His purposes. Ultimately, it is loving God with your time and not giving Him your scraps. And for those of you that have a fruitful heart, may you use this year to keep loving God the way that you do. Keep surrendering areas of your life to Him and come alongside others, mentor them as you help them to follow God and mature in their faith. Help others to see that living this way not only draws us closer to God, but living this way also draws us closer to others with the opportunity to be light in their lives that help them see through their darkness. Because what kind of heart you have for God will determine what kind of person you become and will determine the quality, direction, and impact of your life now and for all eternity. And here is the thing. Today, we get to decide what kind of soil our heart has when it comes to God. We get to decide what kind of person we become, and we get to decide where God will be in our life this upcoming year. No one else can decide that for us. Only we can decide that for ourselves. Because what is the point of gaining the whole world this year while losing your soul? What is the point of striving to have more money this year but not having God in the center of your life? What is the point of having all the possessions and status that you want, yet God is not supreme in your life? And what is the point of living a life that has no impact now and for eternity for God? What's the point? That's why this year, we get to decide. We get to decide if we're going to have a hard heart by continually ignoring God and His invitations. This year, we get to decide if we're going to have a superficial heart by not spending time cultivating our faith. This year, we get to decide if we're going to have a divided heart by continually prioritizing other things over God. And this year, we get to decide if we're going to have a fruitful heart by continually surrendering to God and His will for us. So this year, May we seek to become a man or woman of God. May we invest all that we are and all that we have towards cultivating the soil of our heart so that we become more Christ-like as Jesus has supremacy over all areas of our life. And may we make the decision to keep him first, as that is what will determine who we are, who we are becoming, and who we impact. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, where we stand with you and what kind of a heart we have will determine the person that we become and where our life goes. So we take the steps to make this year count for you. Your will, not our will. Your purposes, not our purposes. God, we follow you. God, help us to examine our lives as to the areas of sin that prevent fruitfulness from developing. Help us to evaluate distractions that we put ahead of you, and we repent of those things so that we can remain in you for the rest of our lives. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love, hope, mercy, and forgiveness for your sins. Well, know that God loves you so much and that he came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you for your sins and to create an avenue so that you can have a real relationship with him now and for all eternity. He lived a perfect life, and then he chose to die for your sins and my sins so that we can have forgiveness and new life in him. And not only that, not only did he die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the whole world that he wasn't just a man, but the God who saves. And if that is what you want, I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you to be the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're a part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. And we would love to get to know you better and give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.